Peter views the flock as belonging to God. In this first epistle, he writes as a witness of the sufferings of Christ. The first epistle is written in view of Gethsemane, where Peter was a witness of the sufferings of Christ. The second epistle is written in view of the glory. He was a witness, chapter 1 of 2 Peter, in verse 16, where we've not followed cunningly devised fables, but have made known unto you the power and coming of the Lord Jesus, but were eyewitnesses of his glory. It's always one thing to have been an actual witness of a certain scene than having something by hearsay. And he conveys to us something of which he's been a witness. What he witnessed was the Lord, having looked at him, viewed the things how God revealed him to his heart and now to ours. And he sees in every case, in each chapter of these epistles, he views the sheep or the flock as belonging to God. It's not his flock. And that makes all the difference. And how does God view them? He views them, they're very precious. He gave his own son to redeem them. That was the value that he placed upon them, upon you and me. We are the sheep. And we need to recognize, before we will be shepherds, to give any help and direction, we have to be sheep who have learned to follow and who have had our eyes upon Christ. As we have our eyes upon him, the character, what marks him, will be reflected in what we say and what we do. And this is the essential thing, I think, that we want to learn in maintaining here, say, this fifth study, shepherd the flock of God. What a tremendous responsibility. But we are not to lord it over them. We're not to exercise any authority. But it was mentioned earlier, a true shepherd goes before, he leads them. Heard a brother say one time, you know, we're not a true leader if we don't have a following. Sometimes there are those who claim to be leaders, but there's no one following. That's like, he says, going for a walk. That's all you're doing. You're going all alone. If you don't have anyone, if you are not directing anyone to follow. But in that case, you're looking at yourself. That's it. On my service, my activity, what I do. And so what the results are, there's nothing for God in it. But here in this case, we find how he brings attention time and again to the sufferings of Christ. And so the flock, they need nourishment. And he says, which is among you, which is among you. In other words, we're part of that flock. We're among you. Do we see each other in the meetings? Oh, that strange brother. Oh, look, he's doing this again. Or do we see them as one for whom Christ died? Thy brother for whom Christ died. What a difference that makes. If you love him that is begotten, you will also love one that is... If you love because you are begotten, you have life, you will also love those who are begotten of him. For we are of the same nature. We are one company, united by the one shepherd, by his sufferings. He must be lifted up in order that he might draw all men unto him. There is nothing that so attracts the soul of a believer as to think of the suffering love of Christ. That breaks down every barrier, every difference that there may be. because that's the one thing, the bond that unites. And it's not, how often have I heard, you know, I've got to do everything. Nobody does anything. I always got to do this. I always have to do that. Have you heard that before? I suspect you have. You know, if your service is because I have to do it, it's not effective. It's not effective. And I confess, it's not too hard to get that way sometimes. To my own shame, and to realize if God has given me something, what a holy privilege it is to carry that out, but under His care and direction and dependence upon Him, and never to forget whatever role He gives you or me, amongst, in the, as part of the flock, as it were, that role, He says, can only be done not by constraint. Not, well, because I have to, since nobody does it, but willingly. Not for any personal gain, filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. We know the mind of Christ, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He was God, God the Son. It wasn't something He grasped after, but He made Himself of no reputation. No reputation? Oh, I tell you, there's not too many of us here that would have to say, I don't do anything for my reputation. I want to have a good name. Want to be well reported. Well, that's another thing, well be reported of. We ought to be well reported of. But not for reputation. But He gave it all up. And He stooped down to the bottom. He was obedient unto death. Obedient unto death. That's a paradox. Death came by disobedience. Death came upon all. He went in obedience where death, where sin had brought me. He went in obedience to the will of God, gave Himself. And so here, this one who's coming again, He says, the chief shepherd, and he shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Are we looking forward to our reward? It's not going to be here. If we get our rewards here, and we get our proclamations here, our pats on the back, so on, we've had it. But we wait for the time of glory. Here, it's a time of suffering. Then there will be the time to receive the crown of glory that fadeth not away. May the Lord help us.